You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6. Tonight we're going to look at principles of receiving. Principles of receiving. Last week, we learned that in order to receive anything from God, we must first know what? That's available. Very good. So tonight, we're going to look at two more principles of receiving. How to receive it, and what to do with it after we've got it. Right? So we're going to look at how to receive it, and what to do with it after we've got it. And in the senses realm, these three principles are quite simple, right? We use them all the time. We have to know what is available, right? So I opened up my supermarket flyer this week and I saw that hamburgers were on sale. So I knew that hamburgers were available, right? So how do I receive them? Well, I go to the grocery store and I buy hamburgers, right? Now I have received the hamburgers. But now I need to know what to do with them after I've got the hamburgers. Right? I can go in the backyard and I can throw them to my daughter like frisbees. Right? Would that make a lot of sense? Is that the best use for a hamburger? No. So I have to know what to do with it after I've got it, which is come home and grill them up and eat them, right? What else would I do with them? Frisbee would get quite messy. So in the spiritual realm, it's just as simple, right? So Philippians 4, verse 6, we read this verse last week, right? We learned what was available. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, or guard your hearts, and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we look at what's available in these verses, we see that peace is available. We see that a removal of fear and worry and anxiety is available. So now we know what is available. So how do we receive it? Well, it tells us in verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So praying thankfully to God, making known your request, right? Basically asking God to take care of it. That's how we're going to receive that peace. That's how we're going to receive that removal of anxiety and fear, is asking God to take care of it, right? And we know this also in 1 Peter 5:7. We won't go there, but it says that we should cast all our care upon who? God. We give it to God. We give it to God. We ask Him to take care of it. And that's how we receive that peace, right? Let go of it and let God handle it. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. So I need to know what's available in order to receive it first. If I don't know that there are hamburgers at the store, then I can't even go bother to get them. But then I have to know how to go about receiving it. How to go about receiving it. Just knowing what's available doesn't do me a whole lot of good if I don't know how to receive it. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, or don't be concerned with, don't be anxious about, saying, what shall we eat? Or, what shall we drink? Or, wherewithal shall we be clothed? Right? Don't worry about where am I going to get my next meal from, or where am I going to find clothes and shelter? Or what am I going to find something to drink? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows what you need. He knows what happens when you skip a meal, right? You get real hangry. He knows you need it. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. What's available? God will take care of those needs. All of those things will be added unto you, right? Our basic needs, food and water and clothing and shelter, God is going to take care of those. That's what's available. How? By seeking him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff gets taken care of, right? We saw in Philippians 4:19 last week that God would supply all of our needs. How? We put him first in our lives, and he takes care of the rest, right? And sometimes that needs work, right? Because him first means that it's not your spouse first. Him first means that it's not your kids first. Him first means it's not your job or your friends, your apps or your social media or your games or your activities or your clubs. It's God first, right? And if you put God first, the promise is that he will take care of all of these needs, right? That's the how of doing it. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Right before the book of Matthew is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. All right, so we understand a promise of God that he'll take care of these things for us, and we understand how. By seeking him first, putting him first. Making him the most important thing in our lives, right? That's what it is to put God first. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Right? And so, what is available in these verses? Right? Material blessings, so that we can't receive it all, right? A great abundance and protection over those material possessions, right? Because God says in verse 11 that he will rebuke the devourer for our sakes, right? That he will rebuke the adversary, the person who wants to take that stuff away from you, right? That's available. How? By tithing, by giving. Right? In the Old Testament, the tithe was to give 10% of whatever your increase was. Right? In the Old Testament, that was crops or livestock or something like that, to give that to God. Today, I don't work in the fields and, you know, harvest my own crops, but I do earn a paycheck. And so we give 10% of our income to Harbor Light Fellowship, to God, so that they can do things for the body. Right? That is our tithe. And as we do that, God has blessed us tremendously with all kinds of wonderful things, right? We live in a very nice house, and we have very nice things to own. But that's because God has provided those things for us, right? Because we give, we tithe. Go to Luke 6, verse 38. And that was addressed to the Old Testament believers, to Israel. He promised to make them a very blessed nation. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus Christ teaches this same principle to his followers. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Right? And so if we have material or financial need in our lives, God can help us with that. How? By us giving, right? By us giving. And the example here in verse 38 is that it's an overflowing measure, right? If you were to think about flour or sugar and you try to put it in a vessel, it's pressed down. It's shaken together. You know, tamp it on the table so that it all settles. And then put more on top until you tamp it down and you can't get any more. And then pour more on top until it runs over. That's the visual that God is using here in terms of how you will get blessed back. How? By giving. By giving. Which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but that's what the Word of God says to do, right? I want more stuff. Oh, I got to give away stuff. Right? I've got to give in some fashion to get, right? But that's a principle in God's Word. And when you think about how awesome and loving that principle is, then it makes perfect sense, right? Wouldn't God want you to be able to give to everybody else? Wouldn't He want to bless you so that you have more to give, right? Because if everybody does that, then there's just abundance everywhere, right? Everywhere. So of course it makes sense. With the how is giving. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So we find out what's available, and then we find out how to receive it. How do we do it? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? So God is reminding us that our battle is not a physical one. It is a spiritual one. We wrestle against the adversary. We wrestle against devil spirits. Right? There are devil spirits in this world, you know, manipulating things and causing things to happen. Right? And that is our true fight. And in verse 13 it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. What's available? To take a stand against the adversary, right? To be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. That's available. How? By taking on the whole armor of God. Verse 14 tells us, and following, tells us what that is. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, right? Wearing a belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So God's using pieces of armor, belts and breastplates and such, but He's telling you what they represent, right? Truth and righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, or believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench or stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. Does it say that the devil won't throw fiery darts at you? No, that's going to happen. But it says that you will be able to stop them, right, with believing. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Right? So truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and believing and the hope and the Word of God and prayer are all things that God has given us. He's equipped us with these things so that we can take a stand against the adversary. How do we do it? by putting on those things, right? So you see that the how is laid out in God's word just like what's available, right? God tells us what's available, and then he tells us how to receive it, right? So he's laid that all out for us in his word, right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. So now you see why it's so important to study God's word. Now you see why it's so important to understand it rightly divided, right? Because when you do, you not only know what's available, but you know how to receive it, right? In some cases, we also need to know what to do with it after we've got it, right? Sometimes receiving it is what we need, right? But sometimes we need to know what to do with it after we've got it. Otherwise, we're just playing frisbee with raw meat. Okay? If I discover that the Home Depot sells rakes, I can go and buy that rake and I can receive that rake and I can take it home. But if I needed to dig a hole, that rake's not going to get me very far. I can stab the ground a whole bunch of times with my rake and I'm not going to get very far in my hole digging. Right? That's not what it's used for. Right? I have to know how to use that rake to put it to good use. Right? And it's the same thing with God's word. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To profit withal. So Holy Spirit and the nine manifestations of it are available to every man. Every man. How do we receive Holy Spirit? Right? What verses tell us how we receive Holy Spirit? That's right, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Alright? And that's how we receive Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, if I receive Holy Spirit, and that's it, I'm done, then I've just got a rake and a hole to dig. Okay? I don't know what to do with it after I've got it. Right? So we've got to know what to do with it after we've got it. What can we do with it? Verse 8. For to one, referring to the prophet, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man his own, severally is the phrase his own, as he wills, as he wants to, as he desires to. Right? So, what can we do with Holy Spirit after we've got it? We can operate the nine manifestations. We can receive revelation from God. We can speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. We can work miracles. We can heal. Right? These are things that we can do after we've got Holy Spirit. And we can do it as long as we want to. Right? Dividing to every man severally as he wills. Right? Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 So once I understand that, then I can put it to good use. Once I know that I've received Holy Spirit, I've got to know what can I do with it after I've got it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17. That, reason being, the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished or throughly perfected unto what? All good works. All good works. What can I do with the word? I can do God's good works. Why did he give us the word? So that we can do God's good works. I can operate the manifestations. I can pray for people. I can be an ambassador for Christ by sharing the word of God. These are just a few examples of the things that we can do that would be God's good works. Right? I can teach other people. I can get them born again. Right? These are things that God wants us to do. I can take care of people. Many people think that works is what gets you saved in the first place or gets you a relationship with God, when it's the exact opposite. God made it so easy for you to get born again so that you could have a relationship with God so that you could do his good works. Right? Because if you don't know what they are and you don't know how to carry them out, how are you ever going to do them? Right? So he wants us to have the ability to carry out those good works. So after we've got it, that's what we can do with it. Right? And again, the word of God just puts it out there. What good is peace if I'm just peaceful by myself on my couch all day? I mean, sure, I'm probably pretty blessed and happy and peaceful. But what am I accomplishing? Right? What am I accomplishing? What good is having all of my needs met and material abundance if I'm not giving it to other people in need? If I'm not moving God's word? Right? What good is the whole armor of God if I'm not standing against the adversary with it? Right? And so a lot of times we'll pray for these things, but we don't really know what to do with it. Our heart's not in the right place about what to do with it after we've got it. Right? God needs to see that there's a desire there for you to put those things to good use if you're going to receive those things. Right? If I'm not stomping all over the devil with this stuff, right? What's God going to give it to me for? Right? I got to know what to do with it after I've got it. So we've got to put all of this amazing stuff to good use. Right? We've got to get our hearts and minds in the place that, yeah, I want to pray for my material needs to get met, but not just so I can have a cushy kickback lifestyle, but so that I can do great things with that stuff, that I can give to other people and take care of the body of Christ, that I can use it to move the word. Right? That's where the how and the what to do with it come into play. Because we got to know how to utilize it. We got to know how to put all that stuff to good use in order to fully receive what God wants us to have. Right? So we got to know what's available, we got to know how to receive it, and then we got to know what to do with it after we've got it.